Okay, we are going to study from Jonah chapters 3 and 4. People who have experienced a life or death situation know and I think appreciate the beauty of life. Maybe before they experienced such a thing, they took it just for granted to live. When a man is admitted into an intensive care unit and knows that there is not much chance for life anymore, he realizes the value of life. If he can be healed, come out of the hospital, walk again with his two feet, breathe the fresh air, touch flowers and smells the aroma, fragrance from those flowers, he will have a completely different notion, different perspective of the beauty of God's creation. And how often I had to talk to the people who are about to die on their deathbed. Quite often they told me something like this, Pastor Key, if the Lord is going to give me one more chance, then I'm going to give my life to the Lord. I'm going to live for Him. If God is going to raise me one more time from this sickness, then I'm going to serve the Lord with my life. Well, every tree, its branches, leaves look so different from before and more beautiful as if he has never seen before if he is going to have another opportunity to be able to appreciate all of them. Though a man may be still weak and feeble, his heart will be filled with new desires of life. Such pleasure and desire were never a part of his life before, maybe. But there is a bigger sense of satisfaction and more appreciation of what he has right now when he has one more opportunity to live. There were many things that he could not love before, but now he feels that there is nothing that he cannot love. He learns to widen and broaden his heart, even to those people whom he could not love before. He knows that he may make all good plans for life for himself, but the final answer does not depend on him or his determination, his plans, or his decisions, but the final answer for everything that he is planning for must come from above. He did not want to open his hands to share, but now he's ready to give himself. Before, he wanted to control his life and the master of his life, but now he's ready to hand it over to the one who is the true master of his existence. If a man has only one chance for every experience in this life, I think most of us, probably all of us, will live with regrets and sighs. Many of our failures constantly will trouble our minds if there is no opportunity to correct the faults and problems. Of course, there are certain things that offer us only one opportunity in our lifetime for our experiences. I have met and seen some people who suffered so much because of their one wrong decision that could not be canceled or overturned. But praise and thank the Lord for God's mercy upon us. God is willing to give us second chances. I'm not talking about salvation, but opportunities we have in life. God graciously gives His people opportunities to correct, to rectify errors and mistakes. The grace of repentance is, I think, one of the wonderful examples we can find. Through repentance, we can make changes. Through repentance, we can make some corrections for the wrongs we have done before. If Jonah had only one opportunity to follow God, he could have been a victim of the storm in the middle of the Mediterranean Ocean. We will remember him as a man who was drowned to death because of his disobedience to God. Jesus would not have mentioned of his name whatsoever in order to illustrate his life, death, and resurrection. Just in case, if the Bible speaks about Jonah after his death, it must be a story of misery. It was a story of probably a remorse and regrets and condemnations. However, we praise and thank the Lord because God is the one who often gives us second chances. Isn't it beautiful? to know that God gives more opportunities so that we can make changes, we can make corrections, and we can make a different path in our life. If our lives will have to be ended with only one opportunity for every experience, we shall meet the Lord with burdens of our unfaithfulness and our failures. We shall be reminded in the day of the Lord that our lives were just full of failures and defeats and unfaithful things. We shall weep and cry because of the shame we have caused to bring upon ourselves. Jonah made a huge mistake that he could not possibly correct later if he had only one opportunity in life. Without second chances, Jonah could not admit that what he had done was sinful. It was a sin and it was a transgression. It was an iniquity. He left from the side of God, which was a terrible offense against the holiness of God. If this kind of thing has been the end of the story, this story is not hopeful to all of us who share the same nature with Jonah. His story will raise only a warning sound against all our shortcomings, our failures, and our weaknesses without giving us any hint of hope or remedies. But by the mercies and grace of God, God did not finish Jonah's life there. But God wanted to give him a second chance. And the Bible gives us a list of people who were the recipients of the grace of God's second chances. Paul was one of them. He was oppressing God's people. Actually, he was a terrible, very worst kind of persecutor against the children of God. He cast a vote to stone Stephen to death. But later, he was able to write at least a half of the New Testament, and he was a recipient of God's grace of second chances. Peter denied Jesus, and he cursed him one night. What a terrible experience. What a terrible event. Just before Jesus was terribly suffered by the hands of the wicked people, he cursed him and he denied him. But he was later, the Lord gave him a second chance, and he did have an opportunity to offer himself to be crucified upside down in the city of Rome. If God is not a God who bestows the second chances through His grace upon His own people, then we cannot probably find people such as Paul and Peter today. If God had not given another opportunity to Elijah, probably we have a very different story and very different picture about Elijah today. We may talk about him as not as a man of victory, but as a man of despair and despondence. How about Abraham? Abraham made so many terrible mistakes. Because of his errors, because of his mistakes, he almost lost his wife twice. But God delivered him. Such second chances were not given only to great men and women of God, only in the Scriptures. Do you know that God's grace was so sufficient, and God had given a second chance to the king, Ahab? Such an evil man. God delivered him whenever he repented of his sins. Even though at the end of his life he did not repent of his sins because of his wickedness, he was punished accordingly and he was killed in the battlefield. But up until that time, God was so gracious to him and he was constantly giving opportunities to him so that he could be corrected. How about King Manasseh? King Manasseh was a terrible guy. In fact, he was a wicked king. According to the Jewish tradition, under his reign, Prophet Isaiah was terribly killed and wickedly, cruelly killed. But do you know that when he repented of his sins, God delivered him from the hands of the enemies? Isn't it amazing? Even those evil ones had received many of those second chances by the grace of God. God gives us second opportunities. All of us have our own moments of failures. Maybe, this message is directed to someone who needs to ponder on God's second chances and follow His guidance. Let me begin with the first point. God gives us a second chance for life. Jonah was thrown into the deep waters. But amazingly now, he was thrown back to the land. This experience must have given him an unforgettable feeling about new life. He saw huge fish and wild ocean, but now he stood on the solid ground. He must have been overwhelmed by the emotion when he was given back to life, and he was able to stand on the firm ground. He was able to breathe the fresh air. What a sensational event it surely was. I'm sure that when he was able to stand on that solid ground with his own 2 feet, there were tears in his eyes. God forgave me. God gave me another opportunity for life. What an exciting experience. I'm sure that he was very, very grateful and very, very thankful as a result. Probably he was determined to give his life back to the Lord for his service and ministry. You know, who would not do that? He was about to die. He felt he was going to die, but God gave him another opportunity to live. He knew that because of his sin, he was thrown into the fish's belly, but by being delivered from that place, he knew that God forgave him, and God gave him another opportunity to correct the problems. And so probably he was very excited, and he was very, very thankful, and probably he renewed his determination to serve God. He not only hears the voice of God for his revelations, but also sees what God is able to do for him and for his people. I'm sure that his heart is stirred up again to desire God and his very presence. And rest of the things, all those distractions are gone, and he had one mind, his heart is renewed to serve God. He's ready to consecrate himself to serve the Lord. Well, I'm sure that his heart was filled with renewed desires to serve the Lord, whether it was a way of pain or suffering. He deserved to sent to the condemnation and death, but a second chance was given to him amazingly. Whenever spring season comes, we are impressed by the power of life. During the winter season, all the leaves are gone and all trees and flowers seem to be dead and there is no sign of life. But in every spring, they are budded again and flowers are blooming again. How beautiful change that surely is. Likewise, the second chance to live was a remarkable event to Jonah. How could it not be, in fact? In the past, Jonah was willing to die in order not to obey God's voice. But to him, a second chance was given not only to live, but also to serve. In fact, if you look at verse 2 in chapter 3, it says something like this. God spoke to him, "Arise, go unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." Wow. And if you look at verse 1 in chapter 3, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time." It is quite interesting to notice that when he was restored back to life, God's command is given to him once again, and this command is not a different one from the first one. Exactly the same command is given to him for the second time. First time, when he was commissioned to go to the city of Nineveh, he did not want to go. He disobeyed God, and God restored him back to life, and he's giving him another mission. This mission was exactly the same mission that he failed before. So God is giving him exactly the same mission for the second time. What will be able to frighten the people who just came back to life from death? What do they want to spare for themselves anymore? Once after they have tasted the death and the presence of God in it. God has given Jonah more days to live. However, though it is significant that Jonah lived again, but the real issue that mattered was not just that he had another opportunity to live. Whether we are revived from death twice or 20 times or 200 times, it is an inevitable fact that all men must die someday. Jonah was restored. Yes, it is true, but he died as well. What really matters is how we are going to live with the life given back to us by the grace of God. It is good to experience the goodness of God by being restored, by being revived from death. However, the real issue is about the lessons we must have learned through those remarkable experiences. Are we closer to God than before by now as a result of having a second chance? Are we living for Him now? If our new opportunities have not changed our ways of life and ways of perspectives in life and so on, new opportunities have not done any good things to us yet. All our talks of trials and God's deliverances from them will be only the shows of our pride and vainglory if they have not humbled and changed us yet. If God's deliverances and second chances have not encouraged us to live for Him and to honor Him in our lives, then the second chances and more opportunities are only for repeated sins and iniquities against our God. Someday we shall go through another set of trials. However, we know that the divine interventions through deliverances will not do good anything in terms of our relationship with the Lord if we have not been changed by those deliverances and second chances. More deliverances may mean only more weight added to the already condemned sinners. If Jonah still refused to go to Nineveh, though he had received a second chance to go there, he was only an ungrateful and unthankful and a very wicked and wretched sinner, and he trampled on the grace of God and despised His mercy. Nineveh, as you know, it was a very wicked city. Chapter 1, verse 2 says that the wickedness of people in the city even came up before God. And so God has known this city as a wicked city, and the people there were wicked and very sinful people. The city was so evil that God declares His intention to destroy it. However, surprisingly, when Jonah was going around and he was preaching that short sentence message, the people in the whole city heard Jonah's preaching from the king to all the commoners. They declared the fasting, and amazingly, they repented of their sins. His message was very, very brief. I guess you may wish that I can preach something like that. Just one sentence. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And, you know, I forgot to count how many Hebrew words involved. But as far as I remember, if my memory is correct, probably this message involves only 5 Hebrew words. I may be wrong. If it may be 6. Well, 5 or 6 Hebrew words are mentioned. And that is a very brief and short message. God is the one who gives us a second chance. God forgave the people in Nineveh when they repented. God gave a second chance not only to Jonah, but also to Nineveh. According to chapter 3, verse 3, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Even to the city, there was the rule of God. Though the city was very wicked, the heart of God reached to the souls in the city. He sees me and you and all of us, and He watches over us even today, as He did in many thousands of years ago. We may be evil and full of iniquities, but whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then eternal truth is still with us. If we have never received Jesus, if you have never received Jesus as your personal Savior, maybe this is a wonderful time for you to think about your own soul and salvation. If you have been a child of God already, but you have not been walking closely with the Lord, it may be a good time to examine your hearts, and you may review your way of life. My mother persuaded me to come to church and to learn more things about God when I was in year 7. But I thought it was not a profitable thing for me, and I thought that was not a really exciting thing and a fun matter to go to church. I delayed the decision by a few more years. If God had not given me more opportunities, I could not have become a Christian for salvation. If you do not have a spiritual life in Christ Jesus, what you have to do, you need to come to Christ Jesus for salvation. Our physical existence is not all that we have. There is a life after death. Be born again by believing in Jesus Christ, that is a very important matter. What are you doing with your second chances? How are you using opportunities of study, family, life, or health? Jonah received a second chance and used his life for God's missions, and he wanted to follow whatever God instructed him to do. God gives us those second chances. God does not do anything by chance, but by providence. And when God gives us second chances, obviously, those things are providential work by God. I'm sure that there are some people who need to hear this message with all seriousness. I remember one particular brother who was a worshiper in my church many, many years ago. Let me see, when was it? It was about 25 years ago, 25 or 26 years ago. And he was a very, very good man, and he was a very handsome young man. And he had quite a large sum of inheritance from his parents, so he was able to run a business, even though he was like 24 or 25 years old, and he was running a business, and quite a huge business, and he had a number of employees under him, and he had virtually everything that he wanted to have. But the interesting thing is that as God blessed him so much in his, you know, for his businesses and so on, he did not have time to serve the Lord, and he did not have time to worship God. And eventually he was leaving away, departing from the ways of God. And on Sundays, instead of coming to church, even though he told me that he was too busy to come to church, in fact, what his business, what made him, what caused him so much busy was a lot of pleasure. And one Sunday he went to the seaside for scuba diving. And he dived into the water, and he did not know that that place was not that deep, and there was a solid rock bottom. On the bottom of the water. And when he dived under the water, he hit the solid rock. As a result, he became paralyzed from neck down. And still, he's not able to move around. Only thing that he could move around is his mouth and some of the facial expressions and so on. Whenever I share the gospel message, whenever I encouraged him to serve the Lord and worship him and so on, and he said, I am very busy at the moment. However, whenever I have time, I will come. Don't worry, I will come, I will worship. But at the end of the day, he did not have any more opportunity to serve the Lord, and he was bedbound. And these days, what he's doing is that obviously he repented of his sins and he came back to the Lord. But obviously his paralyzed body is still right there. So he had to change the way to serve God. So he puts a pen on his mouth, and in his mouth, and he draws paintings out of it. And he makes calendars. And he testifies to the people that they should follow Jesus whenever they have opportunities to follow him. Well, God gives us opportunities. And I want to emphasize this part very seriously and very emphatically. I am telling you that serving the Lord is a privilege. At the same time, we are able to serve the Lord when we have opportunities. The reason that I'm saying that this is a privilege and opportunity is because this opportunity, the time to serve the Lord, is not going to be continually available to us. There will be a time, even though we desire to serve the Lord, we will not be able to serve Him anymore. That's why I'm saying that this is an opportunity. Opportunities are not available all the time. That's why it is called as an opportunity. And I hope that whoever you are, if you feel that the Lord has given you opportunities, especially second opportunities, I hope that you will come to the Lord and serve God with all faithfulness. Secondly, God gives us a second chance for our callings. Jonah must have been puzzled when he was thrown out of the fish. Where should I go now? I'm just coming out of the fish's belly, and where am I? And which direction should I go? What does God want me to do? I want to serve the Lord. He was recharged in the fish's belly. You know, it's quite interesting. The revival took place in the fish's belly, not in the palace, not in his home, not in his comfort or pleasure or satisfaction or even contentment. In the most harshest place you can think about, you know, fish's belly, his spiritual revival was taken place. Sometimes calamities, sometimes suffering and pain actually do serve us for purposes. And actually they serve us with good reasons. And he was revived and he was able to come out of the fish's belly. And what is he supposed to do? Jonah could have said, I was disobedient before. And I did not want to do what God wanted me to do. And I repented of my sins in the fish's belly. And God delivered me from that place. And what am I supposed to do? He must have a lot of questions. Then chapter 3, verse 1 says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. And God is revealing his will to him, revealing him his will. The second chance, the second time, God is telling him, the word of God is coming upon him the second time. The second chance came upon him with God's divine calling and the purpose. The word of God came to Jonah again. It refers to the restoration of God's revelation to him. When we have sins in our hearts, God will not hear our prayers and our voices. But when we return to Him with repentance, God is the one who is pleased to hear our voices. He also gives us a second chance to fulfill our calling that we had failed before. The restoration of God's revelation means His restoration with God for fellowship. It surprises us that there is no record that God rebuked Jonah. He even did not ask Jonah whether he was going to do a better job this time. God just visited with him and he spoke to him. He left his word with him. The Lord understood Jonah's spiritual agony and spiritual struggles, and even he did not raise a single question to Jonah. Jonah, now you got a lesson, right? And you have learned something from the fish's belly, right? And I want you to know that this time you have to make sure that you are going to fulfill the mission that I'm going to give to you. Well, even he did not ask him a single question. Likewise, God is seeking his people again and again. He comes and he finds us first. To somebody's heart, God is making his moves and waiting for his or her response. And who is going to respond to this second chance opportunity to fulfill the calling from God? We have to pay attention to the fact that God did not change the mission that he had given to Jonah. Jonah, you disobeyed before. Now you have a second opportunity. I'm giving you the same chance. And same mission and same responsibility and same calling, same purpose of your life, and I will see what you are going to do. Jonah, arise and go to the city of Nineveh, he said in chapter 3, verse 2, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So even message was given by the Lord to Jonah. If we compare this message with the message in chapter 1, verse 2, what is the message that God has given to preach to the city of Nineveh in chapter 3, verse 2? That message is exactly the same message you can find from his first calling in chapter 1, verse 2. Basically, the same message. Jonah could have fulfilled his calling earlier without a struggle, but he did not want to obey and went through incredible difficulties in life. If he had been faithful from the beginning to the callings from God, he could have been happy and secure in his life, but however, somehow he was disobedient. As a result, he suffered so much. Well, the calling of God is something that we cannot endlessly avoid. There is a popular hymn, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. And I remember this particular hymn because there was a young lady who eventually became a pastor's wife. And in her personal testimony, she said, if I had obeyed God in the earlier age, I could have saved a lot of troubles from my agonizing experiences. And that's why I like this hymn. And she introduced this hymn to me in particular. So I thought it was a very interesting hymn. Savior like a shepherd lead us. The last stanza of the hymn reads something like this. Only let us seek thy favor. It's something like this. Only let us seek thy favor. Only let us do thy will. That's the hymn I'm talking about. So it says, only let us seek thy favor. Only let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. So only if we had responded to God's calling early, when God called us with the purpose and missions for the first time, if we had obeyed to Him, we could have been spared from a lot of confusions and complications. But very unfortunately, how many people are even disobedient even today, even though God is calling, constantly warning, teaching, guiding, and instructing them to follow Him? Jonah took a detour, very much of a headache and heartache. Detour just to return to the original place. So he took such a long way to go to the city of Nineveh. He went to Joppa, he took a boat, and he went to the middle of the ocean. He was falling into the water, he went into the fish's belly, and he was taking such a long detour, and finally he came to the city of Nineveh, original place where he was supposed to go. How good it is for us to obey God when He calls us for the first time. That's a folly of man, not to obey God. This time, Jonah received the same calling he had received before. The Lord brought him to a place, interestingly, 3 days away from the city. And I guess the Lord could have brought him to a nearer place, but somehow he was spit out by the fish, from the fish's belly, with a distance of about 3 days of walking distance from that place to the city of Nineveh. The Lord could have been sending him right next to the city, but placed him 3 days away from the city. And Jonah had to walk 3 days to get to the city. And during that 3 days time period, he was able to think about a lot of things. Do I have to go? Maybe one day. In the morning, he got up. Well, I have a second chance, and the Lord restored me to life. Therefore, I should go today. And night before he goes to bed, should I go? I do not want to go. Second day, wake up, well, but you know, I think I should go. And walk at night, should I go? Somehow the Lord took him about 3 days away from the city so that he had to think for the next 3 days about his mission and his calling and so on. I think it is another token of God's grace to him. God gave him an opportunity to think about all these matters. He could have been tempted to turn back and to depart from the city. Wow, this is an opportunity. I will not be thrown into the water anymore. Fish is not in sight anymore. I'm on the solid ground. There is no more stormy sea before him. So this is an opportunity to run away from God. He could have thought that. He was not in danger of drowning to death anymore, and there is no more seamen who have to suffer because of him. It is very possible that he had inner struggles that dragged him from going to Nineveh to preach the gospel, the message of repentance, for the next 3 days. And God had given him 3 days for meditation, for personal meditation. Sometimes it happens to us, you know. We made a mistake, and God has given us an opportunity, and somehow that opportunity is not right there. Opportunity itself is right there, but somehow correction may take some time. While we are making the correction with the second chances, opportunities, our minds are flipped over. One day, yeah, we have to do this. The next day, oh, no, no, no. So there are pulling factors from both sides, and that's the time. That's the journey of meditation. And Jonah had those 3 days. We are often chastened by the Lord for our disobedient life. We ask God tearfully for a second chance. Give me one more chance. We promise to Him that we follow Him. if we'll give, we'll be given one more opportunity to redeem our faults. But when good days are coming and there is no more immediate worry, then we forget about our renewed determination to serve the Lord, but go after our own pleasures again. Initially, our conscience is a bit bothered, and we are a bit afraid that God may do something against us again. When everything seems to be quite good and quiet, then we are bolder. We are taking bolder steps to be away from God. We forget about our tears and trials. Once in a while, we think about it, but we do not turn our ways back to God. Then suffering visits us again, and we are stunned again. You know, basically, that is the story of the book of Judges. All of us need Jonah's 3 days of meditation time. All of us have missions to fulfill. God has a purpose in our lives. God calls us for different reasons in His providence. Very unfortunately, we forget about our callings until we lose our health, until we lose our possessions, until we lose our wealth and riches and opportunities. Until we lose every one of them, we forget our calling. Until we lose everything, we are not reminded of those things. Only tears of sorrows will remind us of our callings. If God calls us for something, we'd better do it. If we have failed to do so, then I think we should respond to His second chances. God did not have to use Jonah for His work, by the way. You know, whenever we are thinking about second chances, we may say, well, you know, probably God needs me. God needs to be glorified through me and by me. But what I can tell you is that God did not have to use Jonah, by the way. He could have passed him by. He could have raised someone else for the same mission. He did not have to deliver him, actually, Jonah, from the fish. Jonah could be buried under the water. Jonah was not the only person who could fulfill God's work at that time. He was not an indispensable person without whom God could not fulfill His work. There is no indispensable person to God's work. Am I indispensable to this church and ministry? No. I hope I can be helpful. But God is able to run this church ministry without me. There is no indispensable person amongst us. Then why are we serving? Well, serving is a privilege. It is a given privilege for our glory and our honor. The Lord is going to commend us for what we are doing in our services. God is giving us opportunities for our benefits. But let us not think that we are indispensable people. To God, maybe to people, we are indispensable. You know, we are considered as indispensable person, people. However, to God, there is no indispensable person. God is able to raise Abraham's children out of rocks and stones. God, by His grace, called Jonah. It was not a necessary work on his part, but it was a necessary thing for Jonah. It is not simply God's punishment or judgment that caused Jonah to suffer. His suffering was not a punishment or payment for his disobedience. I hope that we will not misunderstand it. God does not allow His people to suffer for the sake of suffering. It is only a means to enable His children to fulfill their callings. It is in fact a token of His mercy on him. It was God's loving guidance for Jonah. Because he was afflicted, he was able to be reminded of his calling and reminded of the goodness of God and greatness of God. To be led by God does not mean that we are always excited and happy feeling and jovial. It means that we are led to fulfill God's will and to fully submit ourselves to Him. When there was a second message coming to him, Jonah obviously could not say no to God anymore. God, you told me so, then I'm going to go. His conscience did not allow him to do such a thing by saying no to God.
He had only one wish at that time, which was to follow his calling.
Jonah wasted so much time until he finally obeyed God. I wonder whether we have some Jonahs in our midst. I do not know whether you are a Jonah or not. I wonder, wandering around and trying not to follow Jesus, have you received God's second chances? Then how are you doing with them? That's the question we must raise to ourselves. Lastly, God gives us a second chance for consecration. This is the purpose of those second chances. It is not easy to understand Jonah's attitude and character by reading all these chapters. Of course, I'm not saying that we must be better than him, or we are better than him, or something like that. Jonah, what he could not understand, interestingly, was God's forgiveness toward the city of Nineveh. He could not understand why God pardoned such a wicked city. He could not understand why God wanted to show his loving kindness to the wicked people in the city of Nineveh. But the real interesting thing is this. What he could not understand about God was the very reason that he was relieved from, restored back to life from the fish's belly, in fact. Do you know, and you know, that Jonah was a forgiven person, but he could not forgive the Ninevites? The forgiveness of God for the Ninevites was a stumbling block to Jonah. He himself was forgiven, but he could not understand why God is showing his mercy to the children, to the people in the Nineveh. God's mercy on them was a thorn to his side. Jonah was very displeased with God. In fact, he was angry with God. It's amazing. It's a real picture of human side of the prophets of God. We are talking about a person who had received God's direct revelation, who was able to communicate with God directly, through direct revelation. The Ninevites' repentance troubled his heart very much. Isn't it interesting? What is the work of the prophets? What is the work of the preachers? The preacher's mission is to turn the hearts of the people, the sinners, to come to God. But when the Ninevites were repentant, they were repenting of their sins, Jonah was very upset. His message was very effective, very powerful. He said, within 40 days, the city is going to be destroyed by God and so on. Then the whole city was changed. And they wanted to, everybody in the city wanted to be repentant. They wanted to repent of their sins and they wanted to receive God's forgiveness and so on. So in fact, if we are talking about, gospel crusade, it was the wonderful and very successful gospel crusade. However, it grieved the heart of Jonah. Isn't it interesting? The message was effective, but he was sad. God gave him an opportunity to repent and to fulfill his missions, but he did not like God's mercy on Nineveh. He preached as God told him to do, but his life somehow was not fully consecrated to follow the will of God. He still wanted to do what he wanted to do, not what God wanted him to do. He wanted to serve God according to his ways. He served the Lord, but according to his ways, not God's ways. He failed to reconsecrate himself to the Lord by surrendering himself completely and wholly. Himself was not completely surrendered to the will of God. When God called Jonah, he desired to deliver the Ninevites from their eternal condemnations. However, Jonah thought otherwise. He failed to recognize that his calling did not end by preaching until his heart was fully conformed to the heart of God and his will. Jonah did what God told him to do, so he preached, but his heart was not the same as the Lord's. Fulfilling God's calling means to consecrate ourselves fully to the Lord. So in a sense, he accomplished the project that God had given to him, but his heart was not there. If you have received God's gracious second chances, what God wants you to do is to consecrate yourselves fully to him, from sin and to God, according to his will. the repentance of the Ninevites, their turning away from sin, and so on. And God's forgiveness for them did provoke Jonah's anger, not satisfaction or happiness. And his heart became hardened than before. He did not want to follow God's discernment, but he wanted to impose his own measurement in all matters. He even measured God with his own measurement. And so what is the consequence of it? Well, if you look at chapter 4, verse 1, it says something like this: "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry." The word "displeased" cannot be translated easily. It's a quite difficult word. If I literally translate the sense of the word from Hebrew, it means that evil came and entered into Jonah. That carries the real meaning of that particular Hebrew word. So evil came and entered into Jonah. That is the meaning of displeased. So it displeased Jonah. As a result, he was very angry. That's an amazing verse. Who dares to say no to God? It is he, it is the one into whose heart evil enters. When Jonah failed to consecrate himself to the Lord, evil came into his heart. The evil heart provoked anger toward God, none other than God. We must pay attention to the fact that Jonah knew God, and he was called by God. So he had very intimate relationship, an intimate knowledge of God, but still evil entered into his heart and he was angry with God. Therefore, the issue related to Jonah was not of his salvation. It is a matter of consecration. When a believer is not consecrated, he will be controlled by his evil propensities. Have you seen some strange professing Christians in the church? Sometimes people are coming to the church and they are serving the Lord and they are saying, "Well, you know, I do not want to come to this church anymore because of so and so, because of such and such." There are a lot of interpersonal conflict and so on. It is because some people are not consecrated, some people are not mature, and so on. Here is an example. Jonah was a prophet of God. Therefore, if you are raising any question concerning his spirituality, you are not right. Concerning the knowledge of God in his soul, oh my goodness, he's a prophet of God. He had such an intimate fellowship and relationship with the Lord. But such a man was not consecrated unto God, and he was angry with God. Evil came into his heart. We are looking at man who was angry with God. When we fail to consecrate our lives to the Lord, we may fall into the same sin and temptations Jonah had to experience in this chapter. Chapter 4 verse 2 is worth noting. Chapter 4 verse 2 says this: "And he prayed unto the Lord." Isn't it interesting? He was upset. He was angry. But the verse 2 says, with that anger, he prayed to God. He prayed unto the Lord and said, "I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying, when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness and repentest thee of the evil." Aren't you surprised that he prayed to God? Can a man with evil intentions, consecrated not heart, pray to God? Apparently the answer is yes. He probably, you know, this prayer was a very eloquent prayer. However, that eloquent prayer did not fully reflect his heart. He protested to God in his prayer. He did not pray to God in order to know God's will, but to demand God to do certain things for his own satisfaction. This prayer is not a petition anymore, but this prayer is a demand. He is challenging the providence and the very character of God in this prayer. "God, I told you. I knew that this is something that you are going to do. That's why I did not want to go to the city of Nineveh. That's why I fled. I ran away from you. But now you are bringing me back to this place and you are doing exactly what I was thinking about you and your character, your work, your providence. I'm terribly upset." That's what he's doing.
He said that the reason he fled initially was because he knew the will of God. I knew you. That's why I ran away. He recognized it in the fish's belly and repented. But now, when he became a free man again, he was challenging God even though he knew who God was and what he did in verse 2. He knew the character of God so well. He knew the will of God so well. But he still resisted to follow his will. It is the nature of evilness. And this evilness resides in the heart of the believers. Of the professing believers. It doesn't matter whether it's a pastor, elder, deacon, or layperson. It doesn't matter. It happened in the heart of God's own prophet. Then it can happen to us. Verse 3, chapter 4, he says, "Therefore now, O Lord..." So here is a demand in his prayer. "Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." It is a rebellion. Jonah called God Lord, L-O-R-D. It is referring to the Jehovah God, the covenant-making God, who is a sovereign Lord, who does all things according to his own will. That is the meaning of Jehovah. God is the creator of life. To such God, the master and owner of life, he says, "Kill me. To die is better than to live. Take my life away from me." It is a sign of ingratitude and insult to the creator of life. God asked him in a question in verse 4, "Dost well to be angry?" God is so gentle. Jonah, do you think it's a good thing for you to be angry with me? Is it a good thing? The Hebrew word for being angry here, Hebrew word for being angry was used in Genesis chapter 4 verse 6 when Cain was angry with God. Jonah did not think about his small faith, small trust in God. And he let his anger against God's rule over his life. We know that Cain's anger ended up in murdering his own brother. It is the unclean nature of sin. The same sin resides in Jonah's heart. He received a new life and a new opportunity to fulfill his mission. But unfortunately, he failed to consecrate himself to God again. Well, this is something that quite often happens in the heart and hearts of the believers. It can happen to the heart of pastors. It can happen to the heart of elders. It can happen to the heart of deacons. It can happen to the hearts of all believers. It can happen if we are not consecrated. Jonah, was he a worshiper? Of course. Do you think he was able to praise the Lord? Of course. Probably he was able to praise God with eloquence. Was he able to teach and preach? Of course. He had a first-hand information and direct revelation from the Lord. So, by all means, if you are measuring that person concerning his spirituality and godliness, everything and so on, you may say, oh, he's a top man, you know. He must be on the top of the list as far as God's chosen people are concerned. Well, but here we go. When he failed to consecrate it himself, he was not able to use given second chances properly for corrections. Though God showed his will toward Nineveh in chapter 3, verse 10, Jonah went out to see how God was going to do in chapter 4, verse 5. He wanted to change God without changing himself. He thought that it was better for God to change his thoughts rather than he changed himself. He wanted to see the destruction of the city. The reason that God called him and gave him a second chance was not to destroy the city, but to make the city alive. But to Jonah, it was very unreasonable. God wants us to be, by the way, consecrated to follow his will, not our will. He has a plan to show his glory and will in this world. Even though we are saved and we are
the people who are delivered from the condemnations of sins, and we have been worshippers in Christian churches for a long period of time, unless we have been able to surrender ourselves to God fully, unless we accept the will of God and show our obedience to Him. In fact, when we fail to consecrate ourselves, these things do happen. Very unfortunately. Thus, his second chances slipped away from him. God loved Jonah from beginning till end. That's why he kept calling him. He called and called him again and again. When Jonah failed his mission, God gave him second chances to fulfill his calling. He received a second chance to life again. He gave him a second chance to fulfill his calling. And for a second chance, for a second consecration. Well, how about you? I think all of us have failed one way or another, somewhere in our lives. And God has given us opportunities and second chances to correct ourselves so that we could consecrate ourselves to the Lord. Are you consecrated? Are you? That's the question. Unless you are consecrated, maybe you're one of many Jonahs in Christian churches. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the message we have learned from Jonah chapters 3 and 4. Dear Lord, thank you for giving us opportunities to rectify, correct our problems and issues. And we do thank you for those given opportunities and second chances that you have allowed us to have. Dear Father, as a result of having all these opportunities, help us to be fully surrendered unto you and consecrated unto your divine will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.